at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Yes, I'm wearing my Fadley shirt. Sometimes I put my Fadley's fake background, but we're going to get back out to Fadley's. We're going to be over at State Fair. A lot of our great spots, including Costas. We have Johnny O set up, and we had a storm last week, knocked that out, so that'll happen. And I like saying this, Luke. I like saying that's going to happen during football season. We'll do that during football season. And you're like, oh, football season, long way away. No, football season's like now. The rookies have reported. Luke Jones has got his SPF on. I'm heading away for a couple of days to do some interesting stuff on the air. We're going to do sort of some sort of throwback greatest conversations ever. And you're going to see that out on Twitter next week as well. But in the meantime, Lucas, it's real football. Like on a field with like an expectation and a season, and some guys are even vaccinated.
Yeah, we're finally there, and we're moving closer and closer to real football. I mean, keep in mind, we're going to have these fake football games back this summer, as I like to affectionately call it, although I can't say I have too much affection for the preseason. But yeah, we're after the offseason, the draft, all the different talks of mock drafts and all of that, we get into the spring, who's here, who's not, all the hand-wringing over that. Rookies have reported this week, and we're getting ready to ramp it up for real. And when you're talking about a team that's coming off of 25 regular season wins over the last 2 years, expectations are incredibly high. And I think it's a real credit to the organization, to John Harbaugh, to Lamar Jackson, and the young, most talented players on this roster, that you feel that those expectations are fair and that they have a real chance of meeting those expectations. So, you know, it's the exact opposite of where the Orioles are at the major league level right now, where there is no hope. There's a lot of hope for this football team, but there are a lot of fair questions as well that need to be asked and answered. And I'm not sure we're going to necessarily get those answers in late July and August, but we do know that ultimately for this team, and this goes with the expectations I was just talking about, anything they do in the regular season, short of maybe going undefeated, the question is going to be over and over and over. Yeah, but what's going to happen in January? And that's what happens when you're 14-2 2 years ago and you win your last five down the stretch in last season, post-pandemic, post-COVID outbreak. The expectations are very high, but I think this team is okay with that. But the question is, are they going to be able to take that next step? And you know, we'll talk so much about Lamar Jackson and the passing game specifically, but there are some questions that need to be answered really in all three phases, if you even take into account Morgan Cox being gone and a new long snapper. Even the Wolfpack has a new member. So there are plenty of questions, but hey, that's not unique to any other team in the league. Tampa Bay has questions, who just won the Super Bowl. Kansas City has questions.
But no questions about who won the election, Tampa Bay.
We cleared that up. Yeah.
We finally cleared that up. Tom Brady has cleared up that Joe Biden is the president and did win by 9 million votes.
Yeah, I did see that. But yeah, I mean the Ravens, you know, to go with that, the Ravens are, you know, they're aiming to be able to be that team that makes the visit to the White House next year. But there are some fair questions to address. And I think, you know, we're not going to sort that out today necessarily as far as what it's going to look like, but certainly there are positions that there are questions and certainly going to be some competition over these next several weeks.
Lamar would have big flow at the White House by this time next year, right? Like the July visit, there'd be a lot of flow going on, right?
Oh, no question about it.
It's back here. I've gone Billy Graham coming back from the Orient. I've just decided to do that. I'll drop the long hair back on you when I get back here, when I shave up a little bit. But Lamar is in the center of all of this, right? And you said the key thing. It took you 5-6 minutes to preview the Ravens in your own way to say, and of course the passing game will be on. And I'm thinking, that's right. That's where we are. Let's go back to Buffalo. Let's go back to forward pass. Let's go back to them running 80% of the time when they're effective. And let's go back to wide receivers dropping balls. Let's go back to Lamar not being very good at various points last year in the middle. I thought he was hurt. You know, again, we didn't really have any way to go ask a lot of questions. He didn't look healthy to me, like around the Philadelphia October. I'd say he wasn't very good and got good again. And got really good again. And then there's questions about the offensive line, the right side of the offensive line. Marshall Yanda's, leaving press conference was a year and a half ago. So last time we were unmasking the castle, it's even further gone now. And they've really addressed that with veteran players, with a big part of what they're doing, with real belief in 30 somethings that feels to me to be, as I get a little more gray here, more of a John Harbaugh proposition, more of a, give me the veterans, you know, like I, you know, these kids can't trust them. I've seen enough Prashad Perrymans to almost lose my job at one point around here. So there's all of that, but the offense itself and everything that happens every time they go out there and they don't get a first down and Sam Cook has to come out and punt. And to your point, long snappers become involved at that point. We will see as a failure if they don't get 7 points on every possession and they don't run up and down the field, because we've seen them do it. That's a crazy thing. We've seen this offense as a running offense be the greatest running offense ever designed. Like literally, we will never see what we saw 2 years ago where it's first and 10, second and two, first and 10, second and three, first and 10, first and 10, first and 10, touchdown. That's what the flow charts. It was, and they wouldn't pass the ball. They were all runs, 8 runs for a touchdown, 80 yards. I don't know that that's possible. They're capable of that, but I know they're going to try to rev that up as much. They're talking pass. I keep saying they want to run.
Well, they did lead the league in touchdown passes 2 years ago, and I'll continue to remind you that. And yes, this offense, the foundation of it is running the football, and more specifically, your quarterback's ability to run the football. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to run 20 times a game, but I think, you know, a few years into this, you can fairly comfortably expect he's going to be running at least 7, 8, 9, 10 times a game most weeks, you know, unless you just happen to have that week like they had against Miami 2 years ago where he just went nuts throwing the football. I think, but I will say you don't invest the resources that they invested at wide receiver this offseason without wanting to throw the football better. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to throw 40, 45 times a game, but I think it does mean when he is throwing those 25 to 30 times a game, they want much more efficiency. And that's where they were 2 years ago. You know, you and I have had Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders on the show before, and we've talked to him a lot about DVOA and efficiency. This team had the most efficient passing game in the NFL, according to that metric, 2 years ago. And that's why Lamar Jackson won the MVP. When they did throw the ball, they were really good at doing it. Now, last year, to your point, after what they did 2 years ago, running the ball and passing it at that efficient level, it was going to always be incredibly difficult to match that efficiency. And that's where we saw them struggle a little bit more in that department. Now, we can focus so much on Lamar Jackson. We've talked so much about the wide receivers, and we'll continue to talk about the health of Sammy Watkins, the development of Rashad Bateman. If Marquise Brown has another level that he can hit, certainly Mark Andrews, one of the better tight ends in the league, and him being in a contract year adds another wrinkle of, you know, intrigue to that equation. But I'm going to go back to you mentioning the offensive line. You think back to that offensive line that started against Buffalo, and we all remember the issues they had protecting Lamar Jackson in that game. And we know the issues that Patrick McCary had snapping the football in that game. They're going to have a completely different offensive line if you look at it by position. Even Bradley Bozeman, who's been as dependable as anyone on that offensive line as far as playing the same spot week in and week out over the last couple of years, he's going to be the starting center now. So you have a new guy at each of those five positions compared to where they were at the end of the season against Buffalo. Now, from a pass protection standpoint, your hope and your expectation is that's going to make you that much better, because the hope and expectation is Ronnie Stanley will be there week one. You hope he's close to pre-injury form, although I think that there certainly should be some room to expect some, you know, some rust that he's going to have to knock off, especially if he's not out there the first week of training camp, as John Harbaugh has kind of indicated might be the case. You're going to have a new left guard, whether that's Ben Cleveland, who's a rookie, whether that's Ben Powers, who did some, you know, had some ups and downs at right guard a year ago, whether that's Tyree Phillips, you know, they have different options there. We don't know who that's going to be. I think people assume or want it to be Ben Cleveland as a third round rookie, but he is a rookie. Bradley Bozeman at center. I think one of the more understated keys to this offense is him stepping into that spot and being rock solid and just being so good there with his snaps and his calls and his play itself that you're no longer talking about center. I mean, think about it. And you've mentioned this a lot. We've talked to Matt Burke at a few different points since his retirement.
Franchise head was never the same. Joe Flacco was never the same.
They had some periods of time over these last 9 years. You know, Ryan Jensen played really well there in 2017. Zuda was really good for the first year or so there. And they had a really nice season that year. That was the Gary Kubiak year. But for the most part, it's been a lot of unrest there. Matt Skura was good for stretches of time. You know, let's not throw him under the bus entirely. But they haven't had that guy where you just put him there. And in the way that Matt Burke played 4 years for the Ravens, you didn't even think about that spot because he was just that rock solid for you every week. And you know, you didn't have any, not that they were in shotgun or pistol 97% of the time way back when, but you didn't worry about shotgun snaps or anything like that. So can Bradley Bozeman be that stabilizing anchor for them in the middle there? Now, he did that at Alabama, but we haven't seen him play center at the NFL level. So there will be that question of how does that look? Right guard, you paid Kevin Zeitler handsomely to come in here and be as close as you can get to Marshall Yanda at this point in time, because Marshall Yanda's not coming back.
He looked very handsome when his wife was delivering a baby and videoing him doing stances. I saw that.
Yeah, so you're hoping with him. I mean, and you know, I mean, he didn't have the best season last year, you know, with the Giants, but he's a guy who has been someone who probably would have been a Pro Bowl right guard had he not been playing in the same conference as Marshall Yanda all these years, you know, going back to his days playing with Cincinnati and Cleveland. So you know, this is a guy who they expect to come in and maybe he won't make the Pro Bowl, but they think he's going to be right away a significant upgrade and above average player at right guard. And then right tackle, another veteran, Alejandro Villanueva. There is that question as far as moving from one side to the other. I mean, Orlando Brown made that look really easy, but some guys do struggle with that a little more. But Villanueva, they're
Michael
hoping,
Orr did that pretty well, right?
Yeah. As much as Michael Orr didn't have didn't live up to the upside and the blind side hype, he was a guy that could do one or the other and do it at least at a capable level, even if people didn't love him at left tackle, and he wasn't a great left tackle. But, you know, can Villanueva step in and be that guy? And, you know, as much as we focused on the pass protection, I think this is where there is a question. The pass protection should be better with this group on paper. I think it's very easy to say that. But the one thing I will throw out there is keep in mind, with as much as the hand-wringing was there about the pass protection late in the season, they ran the ball incredibly well late in the year. Remember, you know, they kind of got on the roll. They phased out Mark Ingram. J.K. Dobbins became a bigger part of what they did. They started doing more of the fakes of Lamar threatening to run between the tackles and handing the ball to Dobbins running outside. And he was incredible doing that. And that's where their running game, while it looked different than it did in 2019, you started seeing that same lucrative production where, you know, we all remember it felt like they could have run for 600 yards against the Bengals in that regular season finale. I mean, that's just how incredible it was. So my point with that is Zeitler, known as a great pass protector over the years, good run blocker, but pass protection is really where he excelled in previous stops. Villanueva, known as a better pass protector than a run blocker. As I mentioned already with, you know, Stanley coming back from the injury, Bozeman being at a new spot, not knowing what left guard's going to look like. To be very clear, this isn't me pressing a panic button. This is me saying, because you have all these new players in the mix, does your run game fire on all cylinders from week one? Or is it more like last year in the first half of the season? They were still one of the top running games in the league, but it wasn't that historically crazy 2019 level of efficiency and production. So I mean, long story short, just to sum all of this up, it's going to take them a little while to gel. And even more so if Ronnie Stanley isn't out there until, say, the second preseason game, which, you know, Harbaugh indicated during minicamp that might be the case. They're going to slow play it with him, as they should, when you're talking about $100 million left tackle coming off of two ankle surgeries. So that's where you do look at it and say, you know, are they going to be at their absolute best at the beginning of the season from an offensive line standpoint? You know, gun to my head, making the answer, I'm probably going to say no in that regard. But I think there is plenty of optimism that this offensive line will be better than it was last year. And the question will be, can it get to that level where they were 2 years ago, where, oh yeah, you still had a Hall of Fame caliber guy at right guard. You had Orlando Brown at right tackle, who's no longer in the picture. And you know, you had a healthy Ronnie Stanley at that point in time. So that's going to be the big question. They're going to run the ball really well. Can I say with certainty that they're going to rush for over 3,000 yards again? Well, you're playing a 17th game, so that's going to factor in. I'm guessing they'll get close to that if they're not at 3,000 yards. But I think there is that fair expectation, bringing it back to the passing game and talking about pass protection with this group, that, yeah, they want to be more efficient. And I think one way that you can do that is probably to mix in a few more throws here and there. I don't think it's going to be dramatic in that way. Or kind of looking at it on the macro level, but week to week, if they feel they have a good matchup where they can throw the ball more, we've seen them do that. They'll throw the ball more. And you know, you have a higher level of optimism now, hopefully with these new wide receivers in the picture, that you'll be more successful doing that. So, I mean, but it really does begin with that offensive line. And we know how much struggle they had there trying to just figure that out last year. You know, they won games, but they're still, you know, left guard, you know, right, the right guard spot was, there was so much uncertainty. Then right tackle after Zeus had to move over to the left side. It really does feel this year, once they figure out the left guard spot, and I don't want to dismiss that, that'll be a competition we're monitoring, but if they figure that out, it really does feel that this can be a very stable, consistent, week-to-week offensive line that you can count on. And when you have that, it makes everything else better. In the same way that Lamar Jackson, his mere presence alone, will make all those offensive linemen better because of the stress that he puts on a defense.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there in Owings Mills doing all things Ravens all week long, as well as the Orioles. He hasn't quit on them, even though all of you have. You can find him at Baltimore Luke out on Twitter and, of course, anywhere the internet is served, and Luke at WNST.net. Last thing, wide receivers, just catching the ball. Like, you know, you're going to be out there this week and next week and the week after and the preseason games, and who drops one and who catches one, and everybody, you know, Miles Boykin's going to be, you know, Jerry Rice again. And that's what we do here in August, right?
Well, and you just kind of said it. I mean, we overanalyze, and believe me, I'm always so cautious this time of year, especially at that position. The number of guys who have been hyped, whether you're talking about a Breshad Perriman, whether you're talking about mid-round guys like Chris Moore, who looked really good in the spring and looks really good in late July, and then, well, you even get to the preseason games and you don't see the same, let alone talking about the regular season. So I always want to be very cautious about that. Yes, their numbers look better on paper in terms of guys that look like they could be viable options. Yes, I commend the organization for what they did in the offseason. Now, they didn't go all in the sense of going and picking up a Julio Jones type, but they did bring in Sammy Watkins, who, as I've said all along, it comes down to this. Can you keep him on the field? Can you keep him healthy? And the Ravens have a lot of belief in what they do from a sports science standpoint, from a workout standpoint. I mean, let's face it, they've kept Steve Saunders around, even with everything that happened with the outbreak last year. That probably tells you they really like what he does from a workout program standpoint, even if, you know, that whole thing was a, you know, kind of an embarrassing thing for the organization, needless to say. But they really have a strong belief in what they do from a workout standpoint, from a conditioning and taking care of their body standpoint. So what does that look like for Sammy Watkins? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to play 17 games. I think that would be very ambitious. But can he play 13? Can he play 14? Can he be a guy that misses a couple games in the regular season but is in a really good place going into the postseason to help you in the way that he came up big for Kansas City 2 years ago in the postseason? We'll see. And then, of course, Rashad Bateman being a first-round pick. And matching him on the opposite side of Marquise Brown, or allowing you to put Marquise Brown in the slot, and oh yeah, you have a tight end, a Pro Bowl caliber player in Mark Andrews. So, you know, it is going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. You mentioned Miles Boykin. I'm guessing he makes the 53 man roster, but the fact that I'm talking about a third round pick from a couple years ago who could be on the bubble, that should suggest that. Yeah, they have upgraded the young talent here. Now, it may not play out that way. I mean, Tylan Wallace may not be ready for prime time. Devin Duvernay may not have taken a step forward. James Prochet may still look like a guy who can't separate enough. And Rashad Bateman, you know, may not develop as quickly as they hope. But I know they liked what they saw in the spring. And, you know, I'll also throw in that factor of the two wide receiver coaches they added in T. Martin and Keith Williams. Those guys, as much as I've seen so many spring practices now, and a lot of it is just, you know, they're out there. There's not a whole lot of consequence related to what's going to happen in September and moving forward after that, other than keeping guys healthy. But those two guys had such a hands-on approach. And I don't want to be disparaging the previous wide receiver coaches they've had, because I think there hasn't been a whole lot to work with, quite frankly. And you and I talked about that going back to the days of Joe Flacco. But I do see guys who really seem to have an enthusiasm for paying attention to the details, you know, guys that are really hands-on. And that's something that I haven't seen from that group. Now, it's still got to play out and translate to on the field when it matters. And we won't know that for quite some time. But yeah, I do look at this group and I see, you know, Marquise Brown, James Prochet, Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, Sammy Watkins, Tylan Wallace, Miles Boykin. You know, I mean, that's, you know, just named of those guys I just mentioned. There's a decent chance one or two of them aren't on the roster just because of a number standpoint. You never know with injuries, and these things tend to work themselves out in that way. But I do think it is a deeper group of young potential. Now, we'll see once we get into the season whether it's really depth or whether it's more inventory, as I kind of throw that out there, as Buck Showalter used to say about Orioles pitching years ago. So, you know, the jury's still out, and we're not going to learn anything definitively in late July, early August, but it is going to be fascinating to see how it plays out, because let's face it, for all the criticism that guys like me have offered towards the organization, as far as, you know, even Ozzie Newsome, the one blind spot he had in the draft, wide receiver, right? Well, Eric DaCosta has drafted a wide receiver in the first round two of the last 3 years, taken another in the third, taken another in the fourth. They've taken one in the sixth. You know, they added Sammy Watkins this year, which, you know, okay, he wasn't choice one, choice two. I get that, but still a guy who has shown an ability to play at a high level when he's been when healthy. And that's one reason you got him on a cheap 1 year deal, because he hasn't been healthy. But they clearly have made more of an effort. Now, will it be enough? I can't answer that right now, but they certainly, this doesn't feel like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, where, you know, Steve Smith retires and they bring in Jeremy Maclin, you know, the guy that used to be Jeremy Maclin in mid-June, and that's all you did. You know, they clearly have invested in a veteran. And
it's not bringing Brandon Stokely, into your point, right?
Yeah. Okay. And look, again, maybe we're going to be looking, if they get eliminated in the divisional round again, you know what? You and I will probably be saying, wow,
wide receivers weren't good enough.
Well, maybe they should have pulled the trigger on Julio Jones if he leads the Titans to the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship. Or we'll be saying, wow, Rashad Bateman really looks like that first round wide receiver, you know, that they haven't had. And Marquise Brown is looking like that first round wide receiver that they haven't had. And he took another step forward. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I think it's a group that I'm optimistic about, but I'm not going to sit here and say that suddenly their passing game becomes the greatest show on earth. It's all about just being a little more efficient, a little more productive, one or two more big plays in the passing game. And then, to your point, their DNA is still going to be running the football. If you can get those explosive plays in the passing game, a little more efficiency in that passing game, boy, that running game is going to be even more difficult to stop. And that's where you love J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards to go along with, oh, you know, the guy who, for my money, already is the greatest rushing quarterback in NFL history. But, you know, if you want to put them right there with Mike Vick or Randall Cunningham or whoever you want to argue with, that's fine. But it's all about just, if you can squeeze, doesn't have to be a ton, just a little more out of that passing game, I just think it's going to make that running game that much more impossible to stop.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. I, I hope that it's impossible to stop. We all do. We're all looking to be optimistic at this point about a team that there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic about. Luke will be out at Owings Mills. He'll be at the Camden Yards. I will be around and, of course, all over the state beginning August 1st, starting in Ocean City, working my way through. I am sleeping a bunch during the middle of the month at home, Luke, sort of spoking and wheeling. I have a cat. I have a life. It's not 30 ballparks. I'm not young like that anymore. I mean, it's not 2015 anymore. I'm in my 50s now. I can't do what I used to do in my 40s. But we're going to get all over the state. It's going to be wonderful. I spent the whole weekend looking at different crab cakes, looking at different places, and thought a beer there would be great. Look at how fat those French fries are. And then I realized I can't eat French fries 30 days in a row. So I'll look like you do when you get back from Max Pizza in Wildwood, you know? So you can't, you're worried about me in this August thing, right? You think I'm going to eat too much?
I think you'll be okay. You just said it. You stay away from the French fries. And by the way, wow, do I really look that bad coming back from
vacation? You see a lot of pizza, man. I'm giving you a hard time. You know, I mean, how much pizza do you eat down there?
Oh, I'm not going to disclose that.
Every day.
Well, it's just about every day. At least
we wonder. Sure. Well, I mean, this is what I'm thinking about being on the road, and I'm thinking, well, it's Chicken Palooza month, so I'm going to have some fried chicken, and I might have to not have Western fries and all. Don't tell anybody Chick-fil-A, but what I learned is Chick-fil-A.
I was gonna say those are the waffle fries.
That was the waffle
Western fries. Western fries, Royal Farms.
You know what I'm thinking of? Giannis.
That was really funny.
I talked to Dennis about that. That's great. Why I said Chick-fil-A.
It's great. It really is.
Chicken Palooza on the Eastern Shore. Royal Farms has beer in Ocean City. They have wine. They have gas. They have cashews that I love so much. They even have fresh salads. So I'm thinking to myself, I have that. I also have Wise Markets. There's a beautiful Wise Markets out in Frostburg. So I'm going to be going out there. And I'm thinking, I got gas. I got food. I don't need to eat French fries. You know what I mean? Like, I can drink water. So one of my real goals here, and Dennis egged me on last week because he was talking about losing weight and gaining weight. I can't gain weight in August. Doing all of this, I can't. I really need to be careful because people are going to be watching what I eat. And every restaurant I'm in, if they like me, and that one out of every three might like me, they're going to offer me like desserts. You've got to have Smith Island cake. And I'm like, no. I'm having Smith Island cake on Smith Island. No, you have to have our Smith Island cake. So, and it's like the old rap song, you know? I mean, if you insult the chef if you say, I'm full. You know, I'm not allowed to be full. I'm on the Eastern Shore. You know how the hospitality is over there. Anita McCool has already said, "Hum, we're getting fried chicken over here. We're getting corn over here. I got fresh peaches. This is Shore, hon. We're going to feed you." And I'm like, I've never been to Chrisfield. I'm a little worried about it. By the way, the bugs on Smith Island apparently are legendarily unkind. You know how I feel about bugs. Yeah. I told my wife, I got to get a body net. I'm going to look like Gilligan running around Smith Island. All right. Luke's doing offense. Luke's doing defense. Luke's even doing special teams, as well as whatever's left of the Orioles and whoever's coming up for the Orioles and a trading deadline around the corner. We are WNSC.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour, Chicken Palooza, Western Fry sometimes, and Baltimore Positive.